you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 173 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. And today I have a returning guest. You may remember him from a couple of previous episodes. His name is Tom Lambat. Tom was with us on episode 16 way back when, and episode 102. And today, I've asked him to come aboard and talk about a new venture that he's entering into with a couple of new products. And you'll hear that despite the fact that Tom is widely known as a Mac guy, in fact, his first business catered to law firms that run using Mac-based hardware or Apple-based hardware, you'll hear in the end how even those of you in the Windows world will benefit from a process and a product that he has to offer here for optimizing and growing your law firm. So it's a really interesting approach. It's great to see how Tom has transitioned this journey from his initial offering to now one that encompasses all aspects of technology within the law firm. And so without any further delay, here's my good friend and returning guest, Tom Lambat. Tom Lambat, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, and let's do this.
Yeah. So for those of you out in the listening audience that recognize that name, Tom is a returning veteran here. He's been on the show twice before. Once back, way back in the early days, Tom, you were one of the trailblazers to help me get this thing started way back on episode 16. So that was a long time ago.
Yes.
And I don't know if you recall, but at that point, we talked about your global Mac IT business. You provide managed services for Mac-based businesses. And we spent a whole lot of time talking about that. So our audience, if you're interested in that kind of discussion, I suggest and invite you to scroll on back to episode 16, because that's all still good stuff, right? You're still doing that.
Yes. Yeah, we sure are. Well, yep. It's an oldie but goodie.
And I don't know why we waited almost 100 episodes, but we had you back on with our good friend Brett Burney back on episode 102 to introduce your book that the two of you wrote together for the American Bar Association. So why don't we just plug that a little bit while we're here? You, of course, can go back and listen to episode 102, but tell us a little bit about that book and what it does.
Yeah, so the title for that book is Macs in Law, The Definitive Guide for the Mac Curious Windows-Using Attorney. And the major premise behind it is that there's so many attorneys out there that use Macs at home that have iPhones and iPads, and you know they're into the whole family. But when it comes to practicing law, they still believe that it can't be done on a Mac. And so the whole book is really it's not a technical how-to book, although there is a lot of good tips and things like that in it, but it is primarily walks an attorney who has considered making the switch from PCs to Macs. And it walks them through all the different things they need to consider, how to get buy-in from the team, what are the things they need to audit and really look at, like, okay, can I really do this? You know, there are some deal breakers at some point. They're pretty rare. There's a lot less workarounds now to run a law practice on Max than even 5 years ago. We're actually just about to bring on a new client in Chicago, and he's been wanting to switch to Max for 5-6 years. And 5 years ago, he actually looked really close and he made the decision. He's like, nope, not going to do it. And when I was talking to him a couple of days ago, I was like, yeah, you probably made the right decision. 5 years ago, I know, Neil, you were a Mac user.
Still am.
And still are. And we know a lot of the Mac using attorneys, but the truth is, these were the early adopters, you know, the hardcore Mac users, you know, 5 to 10 years ago. It could definitely be done running a practice on Macs, but there were a lot of things you had to give up. There was a lot of making it work and finding a way. Today, that's simply not the case because everything is web-based. So an attorney can access all the key pieces of software they need to run a successful practice, whether they're on a PC or a Mac. So
I think in the past, you know, for those who had worked in a Windows-based environment, say in a mid or large-sized firm where, you know, that was their whole existence and they'd been doing that for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, however long it may be, and then decided to go into a solo practice or small firm practice and wanted to convert to a Mac-based system, but their whole existence, their whole, you know, muscle memory was in the Windows environment, and it just was too daunting a task. And so many stuck with the Windows platform while using, you know, Apple products at home and everywhere else. But mm-hmm. as you say, now, even in those offices that, from a hardware standpoint, are primarily Windows-based systems, all the services are becoming, as you said, cloud-based, internet-based, and really platform-agnostic. And so the friction to change from a Windows-based environment to a Mac environment is much, much less. But still, you've got to go through that analysis and go through that process. And that's what your book so clearly and elegantly defines and walks the reader through. Even for one who's already on, as I would like to say, the right side of the fence, I thought the book was great because it made me think about things while I'm over here in blissfully in Apple land. There are still things about running my practice that the book helped me think about.
Yes. Yeah. A big part of it is overcoming myths. You know, there's still one of our clients that just finished going through a brand new course. We'll talk about it in a little bit. On our last call that we had on our last training, she came back and she said, there's definitely a need for this. And I'm actually reading, I just typed this out the other day. She said, when I stumbled across you, I was like, oh my God, if I hadn't found the article you wrote, I would never have gone the Mac route, even though that's what I wanted to do. And so this was, she was a mom. She stopped practicing law and she was getting back into it, you know, after raising her kids, opening up her practice. And she wanted to go Mac, but she, and it was really interesting when she gave me that feedback. I was like, wow, you knew you wanted to do it, but she almost didn't do it. And if she wouldn't have found us and kind of the guidance that I provided her, she wouldn't have done it. So I'm like, man, how many other people are like that? You know, well, it's like, what I want to do, but I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. And then there's those hard-headed folks like me who said, dagnabbit, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pound that square peg into the round hole. And, you know, life has gotten a lot easier since then because of all those things as we talked about. But anyway, so go back and listen to episode 102 as we talk about the book in a little more detail. And go get a copy of the book if you're all curious. It's available through the ABA website, right?
Yes. And there's also a website that we set up, maxinlawbook.com. And you can go there and it'll redirect you directly to the ABA book as well.
Cool. We'll have that all in the show notes. But we have a different reason for getting together today other than just talking about our families and that really clean Tesla that you just wiped down. That's a new venture that you're setting off on. Tell us a little bit about What prompted this, and you know, what was the problem that you saw out there in the marketplace, and how you're attempting to address it?
Yeah, so I'm literally bouncing up and down with excitement to share this. And what I mean by that, little podcast interviewing tip here: if you have a noisy chair, you can get a yoga ball. So I've got a yoga ball that I brought out for the interview here that I'm sitting on. So I am literally bouncing up and down.
Well, it's also good for your posture. So
It is. But we've primarily been a managed service provider, right? Supporting just law firms that use Apple computers with 10 to 50 users, you know, nationwide. And we've had great growth. You know, it's been a really fun ride. I enjoy what we do. But as I continue to grow, I identified some areas that were just not being served in the legal field. You know, first off, I was turning away 90% of Mac using attorneys, you know, because the majority of attorneys that use Macs are not in law firms with more than 10 people. And so for the past year or so, I've been obsessing over how can I bring more value to the marketplace. And so I've been working really hard for the past 6 months, and we're rolling out a handful of new products and solutions, you know, kind of this year. So I'm keeping really busy. Out of all attorneys, 9% use Macs. Okay, out of a handful of different surveys and market research, that's been pretty consistent.
Isn't that stunning to you at this point that that number is that low?
It really isn't. You know, when you look at the technology adoption by the average attorney, it's not high. You know, it's change. It's scary. You know, you look at the older firms that have been around for a long time, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's still hard. You know, it's a pain in the ass to do a full PC to Mac migration. The older the firm, the bigger the firm, the more tied they are to, you know, older software, tremendous amounts of data, you know, PC law, server-based databases and that kind of things. Those things are painful, you know, to move away from. Now it's growing. When you look at solos, that number goes up to 14%, which is more than a 50% increase over the, you know, all attorneys. So that makes perfect sense because, you know, you leave a law firm. I mean, most people that call me, they're like, hey, I just left a law firm. Their technology was outdated. I had problems all the time. I have a Mac at home. I want to do it on Macs. And that's how it starts, right? And then sure, they grow and then they expand and so forth. So given that obsession, like, hey, how can I serve this, you know, the bottom 90% of the market that's not being addressed? We've got two products specifically for law firms coming out. So one's been released already. It's called Basic Care. And this is kind of the magical tools that we've used for over 10 years to manage, you know, the fleet of Macs that we're responsible for, right? So all the law firms nationwide that are using Macs. So you put this on your Mac, it takes care of all the Apple and third-party kind of software and updates. It only installs them once we've verified and that they're stable. It mutes all the annoying software update notifications. Then it also does the regular maintenance, right, to keep the small annoying issues that you can easily resolve by reboot and things like that. And then the third big thing it does is proactive monitoring. So it's scanning your Mac all the time. So it warns you if you've got a hard drive that's starting to fail or a Time Machine backup that's having an error or Backblaze backup that isn't, you know, working or failing battery, for example. So those are all things that are, you know, just the tedious part of owning a Mac. It's not hard. But when one of these things comes up, it's annoying, right? The stupid, simple tech issues will drive you nuts. Can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah, please.
So a couple weeks ago, so I've been using a Jabra Pro headset for literally, I've had the same one here for over 10 years. And it's got a, you know, 300-foot range. It works with my computer via USB, my Bluetooth on my iPhone, and it's connected to my desk phone, my VoIP phone. So I'm never holding a handset, right? So awkward when I have to do that. And 2 weeks ago, the handset functionality stopped working on my office phone at home. And I work from my home office 3 days a week. And I was like, oh man, right away I go to the phone and it's like, oh, the VoIP provider pushed out an update and it broke it. Ah, what the heck? And I curse the phone provider, but I'm too busy to figure out the issue. A couple more days go by, you know, I have to make a call and this time I got to hold the handset, which is like, what the heck? I can't stand this. And then I ignore it. I get back to work and yesterday I spent another 45 minutes on it. So I run the software update for the Jabra right on my Mac. Maybe I see if there's a firmware update and all these things. You want to know what it was?
Yeah.
The cord in the back of the phone got unplugged. So these stupid, simple fixes happen to us all. You know, I've wanted to make a company coffee mug for years that says never underestimate the power of a restart. How many times have we, gone down a Google search and done all this crap, and then you restart your computer and bam, the issue's gone.
I will share with you what happened with me just this morning. I get a pop-up notification on my CRM that a login failed for user, which was a cryptic kind of name for a user. And I went, what? I'm the only user of this software. So that immediately caused my blood pressure to go up a little bit. So I quickly logged out of my CRM and I started it back up again. And it wouldn't let me log in. The field to enter the ID and the password, I couldn't click on it, couldn't log in. So I couldn't enter the password. I was effectively locked out of my own CRM.
Mm-hmm.
And what the heck? So I go to the vendor website and I send them a support message. And off I had to run to a client meeting. When I get to the client meeting, I pop open my laptop and I want to see if I've gotten any mail back from the vendor. I hadn't yet. Restarted the whole laptop, rebooted the whole laptop, and then started up the CRM, and it worked. Now, nothing changed. Not one thing changed. And that is such a pet peeve of mine. Like, for instance, shutting off and restarting your modem to reset your Wi-Fi, that shouldn't work.
Right?
The tech solution shouldn't be unplug it and plug it back in again.
Yes. ISP issues, 90% are resolved, right? And we all hate it when we call for tech support and it's like, oh, well, did you turn it off and on again? And you're like, oh, yeah, but you didn't. And then you do it and it fixes it. We actually have a product called the Wattbox, WATTBOX. And it's a little hardware piece you put in your network. And it automatically reboots your modem when it loses connection to the internet. So it's able to cut down so many support tickets and having the ISP company come out to try to troubleshoot it. But I digress.
Well, I wanted to go back to basic here for a moment within the context of those stories because, I kind of like managing a Mac-based law practice. It's kind of like, back when I first got my first car, I was able to change my own spark plugs because you actually knew where they were,
mm-hmm.
and you could do that. Yeah. And now, you need an advanced degree just to open the hood of the car.
Yeah.
And I think this, while Macs are infinitely easier to manage than other hardware platforms, I find for a lot of people, particularly your attorneys who aren't as tech savvy or haven't been in the tech world like you and I have been for a while, they only understand about 1/10 of the power and the capabilities of the hardware that they have. And so managing that network or that suite of equipment can be a daunting task. And, a product like Basic Care to me sounds like I have my Mac IT guy sitting on looking over my shoulder and mm-hmm. just taking care of those kind of standard routine things that you said, updating software, making sure that it's stable, doing all the other tasks, the maintenance tasks on a periodic basis and what have you. I think that's really valuable. So, to be able to turn your attention to the larger question and let those things be handled by a tool such as Basic Care.
Yeah, and that's really the main thing it's looking to deliver. One of my favorite kind of ideas is just because you can't doesn't mean you should. And right. It's like, yeah, installing updates isn't difficult, but most people are too busy. They always pop up when you're in the middle of working on something, so you just ignore it and you say later, right? Or sometimes you install an update as soon as it comes out and then it breaks something. For me, my almost 3-year-old MacBook Pro, we're coming up on renewing our lease and getting some new ones, which I'm excited about. I just got an error message thanks to our monitoring that said, hey, your battery health is failing, so is it 78%? And for months, I'm like, man, this the battery life on this thing sucks. And so, you know, BasicCare opened up a ticket, told us what to do. I brought it to Apple and they replaced the battery. Right now, I've got a fully working Mac. So yeah, I think it's really cool. And again, it's what we've used and built out for years and years, you know, for all of our clients to use it. And it saves us, you know, tons of hours every month. And I was like, man, how can we package this up and make it available to the solo attorney? So they can spend a few bucks, you know, it's $49 a month per machine. And they put it on there, set it and forget it, you know, and it just keep, that way it frees up the time you're already short on. So you can spend it on actually learning how to use your Mac, you know, instead of installing updates or you know, other things, or, you know, really crappy things like, oh, I set up Time Machine 6 months ago, and then your hard drive fails and you realize that it actually stopped backing up 3 months before, you know?
And one of the things I like about it is it does monitor that backup system. Because, you know, a lot of times even the most elaborate backup system is only as good as the one that works. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to find out that your backup didn't work properly or only worked partially
when you need it.
When you need to restore. So mm-hmm. BasicCare does that monitoring and lets you know, hey, you got an issue here we have to fix. And moreover, here's our suggestion of how to fix it.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that's invaluable, Tom.
Yeah. So I'm really excited. You know, BasicCare, we've rolled it out kind of slowly. It's a handful of clients just to kind of refine our processes for setting up new clients and all that. But people can sign up for it right now. You just go on our homepage, go to BasicCare. And we're working on doing the marketing to make it look a lot spiffier. So that's the first product really targeted at all Mac using attorneys. And it's exciting for me because all of a sudden, you know, I'm really 10xing the market that we could serve, right? So out of 100 attorneys, 9 are using Macs, right? So out of those 9, maybe 1 out of 10 is in a law firm with 10 to 50 users. So for our you know, hold your hand, do everything for you, manage service, 1 out of 100 is maybe a prospect, right? And with BasicCare, now we've got up to 14 out of 100 if we're, you know, working with solos. And then we'll talk about the next stage in just a few minutes. So the next thing we worked on and just released is a course called How to Start a Mac Law Firm. And the need for this came really from turning away attorneys for years. I mean, I have turned hundreds of Mac using attorneys looking for help away over the past 5-6 years. I've always strived to provide some kind of value, at least give them clarity, give them direction, make their time worthwhile while we're talking. But I knew that they had nowhere else to go. You know, you've got, when you look for real valid information on how to use a Mac in a law firm, it's very limited when you get out there. And so I was like, hey, why don't we take all of our processes and, you know, procedures, standard operating, you know, systems, best practices that we implement and provide for our clients that pay us. You know, our service isn't cheap. I mean, it starts at $25,000 per year and goes up from there based on number of users. So I was like, what if we take that experience that we've refined and condense all of our best tips, you know, into a course? So when an attorney leaves a law firm, they're like, hey, I know I want to do this on Macs, but I want to do it following some kind of best practices. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. And that's how the majority of Mac using attorneys, they have to go that route because there's no other option. So what I did was a 6-part course on how to start a Mac law firm. So it's got, you know, video, audio, action guides, workbooks, all that stuff. And it was a silent, it's kind of a secret product, which really makes no sense, right? So I met with 4 people in the first quarter of this year who were in, you know, they were starting up a new law firm or they started one 6 months ago and they were looking for some additional direction. I said, hey, I got this course I'm going to do. And all 4 of them signed up for it. And it was a really, really good experience. I really had fun. I enjoyed doing it. And I got, you know, tremendous feedback as well. You know, I really made an impact in launching these people, you know, confidently into having a Mac-based law firm. So I really enjoyed that.
Well, that kind of pilot program process is invaluable for course development because, you know, you don't want to go through the whole process of developing a course to find out that you've missed the mark or that it's not addressing the needs of your target audience. So when you pilot it like that, you can be certain that the end product is exactly what the community that you're seeking to serve is exactly what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm confident when having gone through that, that now making it available to the public is, you can feel confident that it's going to meet their expectations.
Yeah.
And to be clear, it's different from your book, right?
Oh, completely different.
Yeah. The book's more about the mental shift and how to go about rethinking and reimagining your office as a Mac-based office. This is the how-to.
Yes, exactly.
The best practices, your course.
The book is the mindset. Can you do it? Should you do it? How do you get everyone else to buy in, right? And there's some really good tips and tricks and things like that in there as well. But this is really, we have over 1,000 standard operating procedures that we've got documented over, on our back end. We've been supporting attorneys using Apple computers for over 10 years, and there's most people who have met me in the IT space think I'm crazy. They're like, what? You're a managed service provider just for law firms that use Apple computers? And I was like, yeah. I've been serving the needle in the haystack, but there's been a real need.
Today, I'd like to introduce a new sponsor to The Law Entrepreneur, and that's the folks at Jurisdiction. You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150, that's like the Law Entrepreneur 150, for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. It's interesting too, because over the course of my travels here with the podcast, I come across a lot of folks, coaches and mentors and the like, who stress the importance of systemizing your law practice. And I 100% agree with that in order to grow, you need to have systems in place that you can refine and scale as you get larger and you learn new things. And so my challenge would be, well, if I'm going to do this in a Mac-based environment, why would I want to reinvent the wheel? Why would I want to kind of develop all of these procedures and processes and systems? Why would I want to do that, on my own, spend all that time, money, and energy, if Tom has already figured this all out and is making this available as part of his course?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it's really cool. So that's product two, right? And then the third thing we're working on, this third item.
I feel like this is almost a little bit like, those late night commercials, but that's not all.
But that's not all, folks.
Right.
If you sign up today for 17 easy payments of $19.95,
right. We got one more killer product that we want to talk to you about.
Yeah, it's the latest car washing gizmo, and if you buy one today, we'll give you 7 for free.
Right.
No, but the third one is what I'm excited about. About basic care, I'm excited about how to start a Mac law firm, because that's going to provide just really good content that hasn't been available, you know, to the 90% of Mac users. What my third thing is a solution that's going to be available for all attorneys, and it's called the Optimized Method. We've been busy. This creation has happened this year, so I get lit up doing this stuff, though, so I love it. And ever since I was a kid, I've always been obsessed with finding a way to maximize things, right? This could be my car, right? It could be my first and early digital camera, right? One of the first ones that came out. I remember in 1999, when I got my first 12-inch PowerBook G4 in college, when my compact PC laptop died in the middle of training, because I ran a business during college, I had a Motorola Bluetooth flip phone that I figured out how to pair and control my PowerBook G4. I thought it was the coolest thing. So I'd walk around, you know, the training room, and I could hit play and pause the music and do stuff like that. And this has continued my whole life. And every job I've had after high school, you know, I was able to maximize my time and productivity by finding ways to leverage technology to its fullest to make life easier. And so that's kind of part one that I've got built in. It's kind of my default operating system, right? And then the other big piece is I've always been a leader, right? I was the captain of my water polo team and SWIP team. When I sold Cutco in college, I rose to be one of the top 10 national branch managers, you know, out of hundreds. And this was because my natural ability to lead, coach, and develop people. And it's not bragging. It's who I am. I just love doing it. And that's part two, and it's just built in. And so you tie these two things, and it brings me to this course. It's kind of when you look back and you're like, wow, I see that all these things in my life have led me to this moment, right? And so I've been working through a course called Tribe, and it's how to build kind of membership communities. And I've been doing all the homework one session at a time. And when I first set out to do this, my intent was to create a community specifically for the Mac-using attorneys, right? To provide them the guidance and all the stuff we have on our back end and all our you know, guides on how to do things and best recommendations. But what happened is, in the process of doing all these exercises, I created a whole new method called the Optimized Method. And the whole purpose of this is how to help people overcome technology overwhelm so they can create the cutting edge practice of their lives. I'm going to shut up for a minute now so you can chime in.
Well, I find this really fascinating. Just to kind of fill in the blanks a little bit, the Tribe, that's the Stu McLaren's product, yes. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is an online course that it was extraordinarily popular for a while. I think it still is. I mean, obviously, you're going through it.
He just had his biggest launch ever. He was at Jeff Walker's house at his mastermind event a few weeks ago, sharing the details of his launch and how well it went. I mean, he's killing it.
And so, for those who are kind of working in the entrepreneurial online space, you know, lots of folks know about what Tribe is. But what I, and we'll have a link in the show notes. But what I really like about this is that, you know, as you were going through this, you weren't kind of just working on kind of a fictitious, kind of make-believe project as you went through that course. You actually had in mind to develop this new offering. And so you're really killing two birds with one stone, even at that, you know, experiential learning level.
Yes. I mean, it's a need that I've seen, you know, and you and I talked about it, you know, last week, and you gave me this great term, which I'm going to steal, but I'll give you credit for it, is, you know, we all have heard of analysis paralysis, but technology paralysis is so deep and it's so real, you know, and you tie what people want, right? What do attorneys want? The one term I have heard hands down the most over the past decade talking to attorneys, helping them with their technology, is that their goal is to have a cutting edge law practice. But no one really knows exactly what that looks like, right? You have a fuzzy idea. And you don't plan a trip on a fuzzy idea. That's where you start, right? Okay, I want to go to the beach. Okay, which coast? Which country? You know, international, national, local? Are you driving? Are you flying? Until you have a specific clear outcome of what that's going to look like, you're never going to be able to create it. So because people want this cutting edge in a law firm, but they don't know exactly what it looks like, and you tie the biggest problem is technology overwhelm. As soon as you look at the technology that's available to you, you go, oh crap, I'm stuck. It's too much. It's too complicated.
Yeah.
Right, it's like the old circus act of spinning plates. So for those that don't know, not that I'm an expert on circus acts, although I've probably mm-hmm. been called one before.
Yeah,
right. Spinning plates. You take a stick. For the circus aficionados, I'm probably going to blow the terms here. But you take a stick, you put a plate on it, and you spin it, and then you take another stick and you do another one. Right. Yeah. It's the analogy we're all familiar with. But running a practice is a lot like spinning plates. There's so many different roles and responsibilities that you are in charge of, right? When you're a solo, when you're in a small firm, you're not just practicing law. You are spinning lots of plates. And one of those many plates is technology. So whenever you have time, it's like, okay, I'm going to switch to Max. You get your Mac, you log in your services, and then you got to go back to the other plates to keep spinning them or something's going to fall. So you leave. And you're like, well, I have the intent that I'm going to learn how to use my Mac more. I have the intent to learn how to use Clio or Rocket Matter, right? Or, I want to do more with what I have. But because you're so busy and you have so many plates you're spinning, whenever you have time to go to the technology plate, you take a quick look. You go, oh, wow. And you get instantly overwhelmed with all the different apps, all the different hardware, all the different iPad, iPhone, MacBook, legal software. Then you've got all the features for every single one of those potential things you could work on. And you go, whoa, yeah, I'm just going to restart it and install updates. That way, you know, I did something and I'm going to get back to the other place before they fall.
Well, I'll tell you what another aspect of the challenge is. And we've heard the phrase many times before, it's the shiny object syndrome. And, you know, I'm probably the poster child for that affliction, because rather than kind of become the master of the suite that I already own, mm-hmm. or the collection of tools that I already own, I get exposed to something over here that has kind of an interesting aspect to it. And so I jump into that new platform, that new tool, that new application, and then just keep repeating that process. So now I've just added one more plate that I'm spinning. And then I find another shiny object that has a feature or an aspect to it that I like. And so I'm going to jump into that one. And rather than becoming more efficient, I'm becoming less efficient with each and every plate that I'm spinning on a stick. And so your new product seeks to kind of unwind that and mm-hmm. start again with what do I have and how can I optimize the usage of the tools that I have to meet the objectives that I need?
Yes. Another way to say that is, how can you tap into the acres of diamonds, which are the dormant potential in your technology?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a fancy way to say it, but that's a belief I've had ever since I started. You know, before I started the company in 2006, when I got my Mac, I was like, wow, I love this thing. And I taught myself everything it can do. And then I eventually started helping others because I was like, wow, you're not using more than 5% of what this thing can do. Let me show you a few things. And I'd blow their minds and they'd be eternally grateful. I just had a discussion on Facebook the other day with Steve Smith, one of my very first clients back when I was the Santa Cruz Mac Tutor. That was my website, thesantacruzmactutor.com. And it was really cool. He's like, yeah, you got me up and running. You helped me in so many ways. And it was really cool to hear that I made that impact. There's a Thomson Reuters survey that comes out every year, the Solo and Small Firm Survey. And what they have showed is that consistently, over 70% of attorneys continue to leave their top five challenges unaddressed.
Guilty.
And
That's guilty. That's, right? Stop pointing the finger at me, Tom.
Hey, man, don't make this personal. But and I'm like, man, that's crazy, right? You know, you need to get more clients. You know, you need to do this. So why don't you do something about it? And the reason that they don't do something about it again is because they get stuck. They don't have a plan or a specific process to do it. And so the biggest challenge, you know, to making change is the status quo, right? You go to Tech Show, you go to MacTrack Legal, you go to different events, you go to a CLE, you're like, yeah, I'm going to learn some cool things. You take tons of notes, you come back with a physical or digital legal pad, right? Full of great ideas and all that. But you come back and you go right back to spinning the other plates. 6 months later, you see, you come across that digital or physical legal pad, you feel guilty. You're like, oh man, there were so many good things there. And you look at it, boom, instant overwhelm. And so what people are lacking is a specific process, a method to follow that's going to walk them through it, simplify it, and help them get value and get ROI from the time that they invest in their technology.
But tell us how this method, how this process, how do we do that here with this new project that you're getting ready to launch?
Yeah, so I mean, best way to go, do you want to just whip it out and kind of go through each
of
the
steps? Yeah. Go ahead, start wherever you want to start.
You heard it here first. On the Law Entrepreneur Podcast, by the way.
Breaking news.
Yes, the optimized method. So this whole, Neil and I have a PDF we're looking at. I'll give him this file as well. Or you guys can go to the website to grab it. And so there's six core steps. So the first step is optimize your vision. So what you're doing in this step is you're building a one-year roadmap to leverage technology in your business. And there's a very specific question and a set of questions that you go through that help you define your biggest dangers, obstacles, and strengths. And as well, another really important part is you learn about your mindsets and how your mindsets towards technology currently either empower or hurt you, and how you can make progress in these areas. So you learn some really good concepts that are going to empower and upgrade your mindset towards technology. The reason this first step is so important, again, like I said, cutting edge law practice, what is that? It's completely, you know, I could ask 50 attorneys to tell me what it looks like and I get 50 different responses. Right. If you're super beginner, you know, tech-wise, you're like, well, I just want to stop using my typewriter and be able to send people emails, right? And that would be huge progress. And they're like, wow, I'm cutting edge now. Right. Some people, you know, like yourself or the Victor Medinas of the world that are more tech advanced, right? He's the organizer for MacTrack Legal. They're more tech savvy, right? So for them, becoming cutting edge is a whole different thing. You know, anything you improve on, the further you progress, the more you realize how much further you have to go, right? So you're never done. You never get there. Like, oh, more cutting edge law practice, so I'm done. So the first step, you're clarifying, you're creating your own unique vision of what that looks like, and you're checking your mindsets to see where they can improve.
And what I like about that is that it's a structured process, because so many times, you know, when you embark on a challenge like this, the first thing you start with a blank sheet of paper, okay? So, okay, what's your vision? I don't know. Help me define what my vision really is, because I don't know how to fill in this blank piece of paper. So I like it that it's a structured approach to developing what that vision is, and that the vision is different for everyone who embarks on the challenge.
Yeah, it's like planning a trip, right? First thing, you got to pick the destination. And that's what this part does. You know, a lot of tech programs or consultants, I think, miss the bar here, because it's like, hey, you know, if you're a hammer, everything you see is a nail. And so they're not that it doesn't work, but they go out and say, hey, these are my recommendations. This is how we do things, right? And that might not match or align with what the individual attorney is looking for. So here we're making it theirs. And the second step is to optimize your protection. So here you're going to learn about the security threats, right? How to protect yourself. Everyone talks about security. But at the end of the day, what do you need and what don't you need? What are the basic minimums, right? You do not need the same security protections in place as a big law firm, right? Who's got $1 million in tech, in IT budget, you know, and kind of bigger threats and so forth. So here we go through, you're going to implement the basics to greatly increase your security. We're also going to make sure that you verify or implement the right backups, right? So you can get back up and running quickly if disaster strikes. This step isn't, it's not the exciting step, but it's critical, right? You've got to do it. The biggest concern every attorney shares with me is security, right? It is very real. The threats are real.
And the thing that I like is step two in the process, not the last step.
Yeah, you got to have, you know, this piggybacks on the next step, which is the foundation. But, you know, before you're going to build a fancy, beautiful house, you got to make sure the foundation is stable, is solid. You're going to sleep better at night. You're going to know the right things are in place. You know, these are like the bare minimums. Okay, what are the things you got to be doing? So that's what the second kind of module of the optimized method consists of.
Well, carry on.
The third one is optimize your foundation. Okay, so here what we actually do is we're going to go through and do a full audit of your hardware stack, right? So everything you use every day. Okay, we want you to be able to confidently say that, hey, I've got the right technology solutions in place to support me. Okay, so we're looking, you want to have the right tools to build an efficient business, right? Can an 8-year-old Mac still work? Yeah, my wife uses an 8-year-old Mac. But she goes on her computer for 30 minutes a day at nighttime when she gets a break from the kids, right, to do a couple things here and there. Should you be using an 8-year-old computer, Mac or PC in your law firm? In my very strong opinion, absolutely not. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I was just telling Krista on my team here this morning, I was like, oh, I can't wait to get my new MacBook Pro, you know, in a few months when we're due to upgrade our lease, because My almost 3-year-old one here, it's starting to feel slow to me, right? And when you get the new Mac, you never go, oh, I don't really notice it. Like, it's all, you know, every 3 years, we recommend upgrading hardware, 4 years at the most. But every time you get that new computer, you go, wow, this thing's fast.
Again, right? You're pointing the finger at me here, Tom. I'm looking at my original MacBook Air 8 GB.
Oh, come on. And they're great machines. But again, this is a tool that you depend on, right? You need to spend money where you spend your time, right? Where do you spend the most time? On your computer. If you use the thing for 3 or 4 years, you're looking at a cost of what, $10 a month, right? So when you're buying a new Mac, you're like, hey, do I spend an extra $200 for this feature or not? You know, so we kind of help guide people on what do you need, what's overkill, what's not overkill.
And the foundation is not just hardware. You know, optimizing your foundation looks at your basic suite of software as well, right? Or is that in the next step?
That's in the next step. So okay. This is just the hardware. So this is like, hey, do you have the right printer, scanner, dongles, monitor, right? All the good stuff. Do you have a good, ergonomically designed workspace? Okay.
No. Come on.
Years ago, my dad went to the chiropractor. He was having a lot of upper back pain, and he just described what was going on, right? He's like, oh, you know, I got pain here and here, and he's kind of pointing. And the chiropractor interrupts him. He says, Paul, let me guess, you work on a laptop, don't you? And he said, yeah, how'd you know? He's like, oh, I see people like this all the time. You have to get a monitor that's at eye level. Okay, ergonomics are so important. That's why I'm bouncing up and down on this yoga ball here, because I've had back pain and this relieves it significantly. Yeah. Whether I'm at my home office or my work office or my mobile office, right? I spend a lot of time working in coffee shops because there's no distractions. When I work at the coffee shop, I use a stand called the Roost.
Oh, yeah.
R-O-O-S-T, right? And it props up your laptop so it's at eye level. I keep a Bluetooth Magic Trackpad and Magic Keyboard in my bag. They're super small. Anytime I'm working with, you know, ergonomically. It's less tiring to work, right? When you've got a larger monitor, your eyes aren't straining. There's all these different things. So that impacts your productivity. It impacts the work quality that you're doing. Having the right scanner, right? If you're doing a bunch of scanner and you're walking across the office, maybe it's good for, you know, getting your steps in, but would a ScanSnap scanner on your desk, you know, be more efficient? For most of our clients, there's one person in the office that does 80% of the scanning. So we usually recommend, like, hey, get a ScanSnap scanner, try it out. They get one, usually within the next month, they've got one or two more deployed to other people who use them a lot. So it's getting all your right tools to support you to do great work.
And then next?
Yeah, optimize your core tool set. So here you're getting really clear on what are the applications that you that make the biggest impact in your business, right? So you're either building up or you're paring down your toolkit, and you understand the impact they can have on your productivity. So the obvious ones that everyone thinks of is, oh, case management software, right? Time and billing software. Okay, how much time do you spend working in Word? How much time do you spend working in Outlook, right? Those, the apps that you spend, again, you know, spend money where you spend your time with things. But when it comes to software, you want to get really clear, like, which are the apps that I spend the most time in that really make an impact on my practice? Okay, so here you're kind of getting clarity in what applications do you most need to develop skill and confidence in?
And do you go to drill down in those applications to define what are you doing within that application the most?
Yes, and that comes in the next step.
I keep getting ahead of ourselves.
You're on page 19. I'm on page 12. We're going to get there. That was that's my favorite rebuttal when I used to teach training courses. You know, I'd be training sales reps, and you know, they raise their hand. And, oh, well, what if this happens? And I'm like, oh, we're going to get to that. Right? Yeah. So once you identify your core tool set, then this goes right into step number 5, which is optimize your leverage. So now that you know the key tools that are going to drive your efficiency and make the biggest impact, we're going to build a very clear path for how to develop your skill in these key pieces of software. And again, it has to be easy. So what we're doing is like, okay, for each of your applications, what are the top 3 apps, the top 3 features that are going to move the needle the most, right? And make an impact in your business. How many attorneys do not use Word templates, right?
Hitting the sweet spot here because, whenever I get a document from another attorney and I open it up, I can see immediately because I do something weird that a lot of attorneys don't do, but I show the invisible characters. Okay. So I can see that they're formatting their document using the tab and the space bar.
Yeah.
And that tells me immediately their level of sophistication with the tool that they're using. So your point is really well taken. How many attorneys are not using Word templates? How many attorneys are not using style sheets?
Mm-hmm.
No?
I mean, how often, do you as the listener, when was the last time you got a new client, you just signed up and you're like, all right, he's going to need this document. Oh, I just did this document for John Smith 2 weeks ago. And you pull up John Smith's file and you open it and you change the name and you start changing all the info and then you hit save and you go, crap. Oh, I meant to hit save as.
Yeah.
Right? And you just saved over the old file. Scenario 1. Scenario 2, you make all those changes, you send it to your client and they go, who the heck's John Smith? Because he missed it on page 5, right? So, sometimes those simple features, like that's not a complicated thing.
I remember in law school, I just really blew everybody away by showing them how you could automatically generate a table of contents in a document. And to me, I just thought, this is like one of the rudimentary tasks that you use a product like Microsoft Word for, to automatically generate a table of contents or a table of attributes, citations, and the like. So, that point is really well made in the sense that it really is optimizing how you leverage these tools to be more productive.
Yeah. And what you walk away from there, so you got your top 10 apps and you pick the top 3 features that'll make the biggest impact in improving your use of those apps. And you've got 30 features. Boom, that sounds overwhelming, right? But then you take the top 10 of those. And if you can spend 30 minutes or 1 hour per week for the next 10 weeks, you're going to greatly increase your confidence and level of comfort in using those apps and in being productive.
Incremental steps.
Yeah.
Incremental improvement.
And that's the whole key to this. It's breaking it down. That's why it's a method. It's like, hey, just follow the recipe, right? Talking about recipes, and my parents were great chefs growing up. I was really lucky, had good food. My brother went to culinary school. My sister was good. Me, I was the one they made. They're like, oh, Tom, you can't even boil water. Mm. Right? A fancy meal for me in college was egg drop soup, which was top ramen with an egg cracked into it. Really fancy. You know, we also had chili mac, right? Mac and cheese, a can of chili in it. And now I'm a really good chef. It sounds funny saying it, but I can make some, you know, I'm making Korean braised short ribs in my Dutch oven. And, you know, I enjoy doing that stuff. And I just, I'm not fancy. I'm not like, wow, I'm a really good chef. I just take the recipe and I follow it. And you do the same ingredients and the same steps, you're going to get the same outcome. And that's what this is. It's a recipe. And then the last step is to optimize your automation. So as you become more confident and comfortable using your toolkit, you're going to start, we're going to go through and we're going to identify the available API integrations and automations that you can leverage within your toolkit. So you can find out, you know, what's going to make an impact. You know, I use Pipedrive for kind of sales management, and it integrates with PandaDoc, which is the document software we use for contracts and statements of work and things like that. And now that I use the integration, it saves me a whole bunch of time, right? So it's teaching and it's demystifying the complexity of automation, first off, because it's scary, right? First time you look at Zapier, you go, whoa, it's too much. And so it's breaking it down. It's finding the, again, the small, you know, the small levers. That's why it's called the optimized methods. How do you optimize your use of technology in your law firm? It's unique to each person.
It's interesting now that this is the first non-Mac only product that you have created, right? I mean, because there's nothing in this that is platform specific.
Right. As I created this, it took me a while. I actually shared this with a couple friends of mine who are business owners. And I was like, hey, what do you think? This is what I'm working on. And, you know, I got to the end and both of them were like, hey, where can I sign up? I was like, oh, I'm sorry. This is just for attorneys. And that kind of helped me think. I was like, well, why am I making it Mac only? You know, and it took me a while because that's who I am, right? That's my identity. I'm the Mac guy. And I was like, oh, how could I do this? But at the end of the day, by like you said, it's a process. None of this is Mac or it's platform agnostic. Yeah. And so this takes me from, with our managed service solution, 1 out of 100 is a potential prospect. With the basic care and how to start a Mac law firm, you know, 9 to 14 out of 100 are prospects. And now there's 100 people out of 100 attorneys that I can make an impact, you know, help move the needle, reduce the stress of technology or the, you know, help them overcome the fear and just break through that overwhelm to start making progress. And that looks different for each person. And that's why this is a, you know, it's a unique recipe because you're doing the exercises, you're making it yours. It's not just like, hey, here's how you do it. Here's what you should do in your practice.
Well, as I mentioned in the introduction here, although I'm talking to Tom Lambott, who's, you know, known as the Mac guy, as you said, if for our non-Mac users, stick around and listen to the end of the podcast because there's something, the last half of the podcast is all about a methodology that anybody can use and profit from and benefit in terms of being able to get the most out of whatever they use in their law firm. So to that point, Tom, tell our audience how they go about reaching out to you personally and professionally to drill down on this and maybe become more intimately involved with the optimized method.
Yeah, so a couple options. For the Mac, I mean, anyone can shoot me an email at tom@globalmacit.com. You know, you go online, all the tools can find anyone's email address anyways. So they can feel free to shoot me an email. For the Mac using listeners out there, your best bet is to go to globalmacit.com. And right there, you can either schedule a consultation with me directly, or you can request one of our very useful and valuable kind of free reports or books that I've made available there. And then for those who are not Mac users, but interested in finding out more about the optimized method, you can go to optimizemethod.io to find out more.
Terrific. And we'll have all of that in the show notes. And I'm really excited for you, Tom. I think you know, it's really kind of cool to watch how, you know, I met you 15 or more years ago at one of the first MacTrack Legals, and to see how this has grown in your skill set and your approach to delivering value to customers to this, you know, global kind of far-reaching optimal, to make a pun on the word, method for improving our lives in the law firm. And I think it has great potential. I'm looking forward to see how much success you can generate.
Thank you. Yeah, like I said, I'm so passionate about this current project. You know, it really harnesses who I am at my core, what I love to do the most, which is to simplify the complex, help people identify strengths and obstacles, and then help people create better versions of themselves. And this really just taps into all that, and I feel like I can make a really big impact on the marketplace and change a lot of lives. And at the end of the day, you know, I love helping people. So
outstanding. Well, I can't thank you enough for returning to the scene of the crime, so to speak, and being a three-time guest here on The Law Entrepreneur. We'll catch up a little further down the line.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Neil.
Take care.
Well, that will do it for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors for making this show possible, the good folks at Call Ruby Receptionists, and our newest sponsor, Jurisdiction, the providers of the Next Level Law Practice Program. So take a moment to visit our show notes and hop on over to their websites for special discounts and savings and other free stuff that you can get, and just support them because they make this podcast possible day in and day out. Also, if you got a couple minutes, pop on over to our own website, thelawentrepreneur.com. We have a couple little articles there. You can also listen to the podcast itself there if you choose to. And sign up for our newsletter or our mailing list. And we don't do a lot. You know, you're not going to bombard you with emails every week. And I do plan on doing a few more this year, but we'd love to have you join our community. And in that sense, you can also go on to our Facebook page. You can find us just by searching on The Law Entrepreneur. You can find out what we got going on a daily basis, sometimes hourly, on the Facebook page. So I'd love to have you join us there. And if you have the time, last but not least, go on over to iTunes, search on The Law Entrepreneur. And if it's something that you believe in and feel strongly about, we'd love for you to leave an honest 5-star review, as well as comments about what you like and dislike about the show, because it does mean a lot to us that you are our community, our listeners, and I want to thank you for making this all possible. So we'll see you next time on The Law Entrepreneur.